Hey, welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. I'm the president of Texas Values. Good to be with you again. Lots to cover in today's show, and I hope that you've been able to join us before. If you're not, it's your first time with us, welcome. Glad to have you with us. I lead the organization Texas Values, but I'm a lawyer and have been working on the issues of faith, family, and freedom for over 10 years in the state of Texas, and really going back before 2005 when I was studying law and other advocacy efforts before then. But professionally, I've been doing this work for a little over a decade. The organization Texas Values has been around for just a couple of years, but we have quite a long legacy, a legacy actually that goes on for over 40 years. And that's because we were blessed to be a part of an organization called Liberty Institute and Free Market Foundation, which is led by Kelly Shackelford. And I was a lawyer for that organization and doing public policy in the Austin area. Our office is two blocks from the state capitol. If you haven't been to our office, we're at 900 Congress. And so, for a long time, I'd worked with Liberty Institute and worked on court cases and policy issues. But then what we saw over time is a need to continue to have a statewide presence. But we saw that we had court cases dealing with religious liberty in other parts of the country, not just Texas. Now, the organization was based in the state of Texas. It was out of the Dallas area in Plano. And so, but as Liberty Institute grew into more of a national organization, we didn't want to lose our identity in Texas. I sure didn't. Fifth generation Texan, proud of that. Have family from South Texas and in the Houston area where I grew up, and along the coast, close to Galveston, and all around Central Texas. So, really, a proud history and heritage that I've enjoyed and been blessed with from the state of Texas. And so, anyway, we started this organization, Texas Values, a couple of years ago in order to have a statewide and Texas presence. And so we broke off from Liberty Institute, if you will, and started our own nonprofit organization. And so, you know, for years, been involved in working on court cases, doing a lot of legislative work, been involved in certain things like having the words "under God" put in our state pledge, and doing work to educate elected officials about things happening at the State Board of Education, making sure that our history is being taught and preserved in curriculum and things of that nature. And so I've been involved in a lot of efforts related to that. And oftentimes what you'll see is that the media will call on us and ask us for our opinion on different things. And particularly myself, for, you know, we kind of settle in our roles sometimes, right? You know, you think about how we can be used by God. And that was a big part of things for me as I was going along studying law and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, but really wanted an opportunity to serve. And that's what led me into the law. But also, as my Christian faith was deepening, I was trying to figure out where I could be of use. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you open yourself up to that and God surely answers. And that was the case for me. You know, being a law student at the University of Houston, I had some opportunities come to me. And that was tremendous. Something that I really enjoy too, you're seeing this a lot lately, a lot of great films out there that are talking about our Christian faith and talking about some of the challenges we face and talking about some of the attacks on our faith, if you will. And there's a movie, I don't know if you've seen it, called God's Not Dead. And it's been out for a little while, probably a little over a year. I think it's on DVD. I saw the other day it's on Netflix. I saw them advertising it. And so you can check the movie out. But if you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to do that. And when you do, take a look at the end of the credits. At the end of the movie and the credits, there's a reference to a number of court cases that the writers of the movie say had an influence on the content of the movie. In one of those cases, you'll see it's called Pro-Life Cougars versus the University of Houston. Well, that's my case, as I like to say it. When I was a student at the University of Houston, we had the free speech rights of our organization, and I feel the religious rights of our organization, that was part of why we existed, challenged by the University of Houston. They wanted to treat our organization different than others. And so we ended up having to file a lawsuit to defend ourselves, and ended up being successful. And so anyway, for whatever reason, one of the groups that I think was part of writing the movie or involved in the movie was a national organization that we worked with called Alliance Defending Freedom, and they chose one of the cases that I was involved in as a part of the inspiration for the movie. And some of the things that happened in the movie, you know, I did connect with and kind of brought me back to that time and being a student and understanding what it's like to actually go up against the government. And so, but we knew what was at stake, you know, being, know how important the pro-life issue is in order to educate people about what happens in the womb, what, you know, the beginnings of conception and when a new child is taking form in the womb and the importance and the real information on that. And it was striking when I was a student there how many people were not aware of that. And so we would have events there where we would educate people. And so, you know, it was tremendous though because we won that court case. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, right, to be a law student and sue your university. The University of Houston is one of the largest university systems in the country. You know, not quite as big as the University of Texas, but not far behind. So I think their enrollment with all their campuses is probably over 40,000, if not close to it. So, but nonetheless, we were successful in that. But, you know, there was a young lady that came to one of our events. And the reason we were having that event was because we were successful in the court case and we had our free speech rights that were protected. And I remember that she came and talked to one of our members and was being pressured by someone to have an abortion. She was a college student and she was pregnant. But as a result of the information that she got from us, she decided to keep the baby in her womb. And I will never forget that experience. And I'll never forget the fact that had we not been there, had we not stood up for what we believed in and went up against the government when they tried to restrict our rights, we wouldn't have been there that day to give that woman that information. So, and one of the reasons I'm thinking about this is because I was having dinner with my family recently and my son's oldest son, Jonathan Jr., his birthday's coming up soon. And he was talking about what we might do for his birthday. And he said, you know, Daddy, on my birthday cake, I want to, you know, have about it being my birthday and everything, but I want my birthday cake to say, God's not dead. So I just thought it was interesting because my son's not even seen the movie. I mean, there's some things in the movie that, you know, while they're appropriate for a family, you know, there's some drama and some intense scenes that, you know, may be a little much for some of the younger ones. My son's 8 years old, my oldest. And so I had not, they have not seen it, the movie. And so, but my son likes the song by, I'm forgetting the name of the group now. And I'll remember it in a minute that, that sings the movie, God's Not Dead, but, Newsboys, excuse me. So anyway, I thought that was just a great moment. You know, as a parent, you have a lot of great moments at times, but I mean, sometimes the kids surprise you and, you know, see the big smile on my son's face, and say, Daddy, we're going to put God's Not Dead on my birthday cake, you know, which is probably not what the average kid says. But that tells you a little bit about me and my family and but also just really have a connection point with my son as he gets a little bit older. I'll start to explain to him the significance of that movie and the significance of some of the work that I've been involved in that I'm very proud of. And so, but I encourage you to go to our website, txvalues.org. You can see more about us, but you also can get our weekly newsletter. You can sign up for the email. And if you choose to, you can support us. We're a nonprofit organization. We do rely solely on donations, and that's the only way we're able to be effective is if we continue to be funded. And so a lot of important things happened this week. There was a major rally at the state capitol. I don't know if you got to see it on the issue of marriage and defending our marriage laws. There were a number of groups that were there. There was a Texas Pastor Council was there. A national organization called the Coalition of African American Pastors were there. They were standing for marriage, and they were also standing for the message that they feel like people that want to redefine marriage are using the history and the concept of the civil rights movement to advance their cause. And these African American pastors were talking about their actual history and connection with the civil rights movement in ending racial segregation and racial discrimination. And they don't like the folks that want to redefine marriage that are trying to use the civil rights movement to advance advocacy for their sexual preferences and sexual choices. And so they don't think there's a similarity there and a connection. And I've heard a number of pastors talk about that, African-American pastors talk about that very passionately, you know, and sometimes, you know, they'll have to talk about really graphic things that happened during the civil rights movement you know, where people were murdered and people were just treated in such a brutal way and disrespective way that it really shocks the conscience, you know, and someone like myself who did not grow up during that time, you know, I've certainly read about it. Certainly someone who read a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King and some of the things that happened during that time. And Dr. King being someone of a strong Christian faith and using his faith to inspire him and to have that support while he was working on these issues. But, you know, and so they were expressing not only their support for our marriage laws as one man and one woman, but really trying to let the public and media know that the people that often talk about the civil rights movement, many of them who are not African American, they don't approve of that. They don't agree with that. And to some extent, they're asking the homosexual advocacy groups to stop saying that, to stop using the civil rights movement as some kind of cover or reason to advance the homosexual lifestyle and the change in laws. That they're saying that's not appropriate, that there's not a similarity. And so, and you could understand how they would be very passionate about that, but also it would mean a lot to them what happened during that time in the civil rights movement and the legacy of it. And feeling that that what people are using it for it now just does not add up. And so I thought that was very interesting and a very important point there that they were making in their important presence. You know, and the Coalition of African American Pastors they have members here in Texas, but they've got over 6,000 clergy members across our country. And for them to be involved in this issue, for people to know that you've got significant support from the African American community on the issue of marriage, I think is very important as well. I think there are people of all diverse backgrounds that are with us on the marriage issue and continue to be concerned by the efforts to redefine marriage. And so we were there at the rally. There's also someone named Roy Moore that you may have heard of. He's one of the Supreme Court justices from Alabama. And Alabama is currently in efforts right now where their marriage laws have been challenged, but they have said that they're going to allow their state judges to control the issue of marriage, that the way they're doing it, the state court judges have the probate judges have the right to issue marriage license, and they have told those judges that they're to follow state law, and their state law and state court decisions say that marriage is between one man and one woman, and they don't have to follow a federal court decision. A lot of people don't realize that state courts are not bound to the precedent of a lower federal court ruling. You know, when it comes to a direct U.S. Supreme Court order, that's a little bit different, and there's a little bit more of a different discussion, argument to make about if states have to follow what the U.S. Supreme Court says directly to them. But the Alabama case is not before the Supreme Court as far as the one that's going to be reviewed in June. And so the Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore was making the point that if the state courts have said that the state probate judges have to follow marriage laws between one man and one woman, then that's the law that Alabama has to follow, not a different ruling by a lower federal court judge. And so a lot of people aren't aware of how that works in our judicial system, that there really are, you know, kind of two sets of systems there, and the state is allowed to follow their state court laws, and they're not bound by the precedent of a lower federal court decision. The state court judges aren't. So a great turnout with the rally. A lot of people there. There were a lot of elected officials there wanting to show their support for our marriage laws and remind people that, speaking of marriage, a lot happening on marriage this week. You know, just last week, we filed a brief, an appellate brief in the city of Houston. I'm originally from the city of Houston. You'll hear me talk a lot about that, but not just because I'm from there, but because there's been a lot of attacks on our values, on religious freedom, on marriage. We know the pastors in Houston were the ones that had their sermon subpoenaed by the mayor of Houston, but a lot of people don't know about this other case that's, you know, just as important, if not more important sometimes, the fact that the mayor of Houston, Anise Parker, has violated not only our state law, but local laws in Houston when she decided to recognize marriages of the same sex in order to give government benefits based on that. And so, you know, it's very important for us to follow precedent, for us to follow authorities, for us to follow the law. And if we think the law is incorrect, then we work on ways of changing it. We go through the legislative process and so on. And then there are sometimes when the law is very settled, we'll have a court case to defend our rights on certain laws. And certainly what we're seeing here, though, is in Houston is not any of those. We don't even see her challenging this issue in court. We, myself and a few other lawyers, we had to actually bring a court case against the mayor of Houston because she was violating our laws. It was her opinion and her legal counsel's opinion that when the Supreme Court ruled that states have a right to define marriage, as they did in the Windsor decision, and the federal government cannot be in conflict with that, as they were with the state of New York, she, for some reason, thought that meant she could start recognizing marriages of the same sex from other states. And the reason she thinks that is because a lot of people were distorting that decision. So the federal government said marriages between one man and one woman. State of New York said, well, at the state level, we recognize marriages of people of the same sex. So these two definitions are in conflict. And so the Supreme Court said, oh, well, the federal government cannot force a definition of marriage onto a state. Defining marriage has been something historically that states have done, and that's been their, you know, their area. So the federal government has to respect that. Now, the effect of that was that New York was able to continue with their same-sex marriage law, but the principle that the Supreme Court was approving was that the federal government cannot force a definition of marriage on states that's different. So that would make sense in our state, that federal government cannot force us to redefine our marriage laws if we want to defend them as one man and one woman. But for some reason, the mayor of Houston thought that that would give her, you know, a green light to recognize marriages of the same sex from other states, and that's not true. And that's our law complete is very specific about not allowing that. So nobody else would file suit against the mayor. And I don't know that anyone's ever done that because there are other elected officials that are violating this law as well. So we did. We filed suit against her, myself, another lawyer in Houston, Jared Woodfill, another lawyer named Leif Olson. And so and we've been successful. We've stopped the mayor. But of course, on this issue, we got a ruling for her to stop what she was doing. But the city appealed, and they seem to have plenty of money these days to have all lawyers engaging in litigation on these issues. And so the case should be over, but they've continued to appeal and try to make the case difficult and expensive. And so we filed our response at the appellate level in the appeals court on this issue this week. The other thing we're working on this week, too, is a legal brief to the U.S. Supreme Court on the marriage decision. We want to make sure your voice is heard. We want to make sure the voice of Texans, the faith and family Texans like you that care about these issues, have your voice heard before the U.S. Supreme Court. The oral arguments are going to be in April, but briefs are due coming up here very soon. So we are we're working on our draft to get that filed very soon. You know, at Texas Values, you know, the issues of faith, family, and freedom are what we're about, and certainly protecting the marriage issue and our definition of marriage and the right of our state to not be pushed around and bossed around by the federal government and really usurped. You know, to have we don't feel like we should have that right of the federal government taken away from us at the state level. Something the Supreme Court has said is his historic function of the state to define marriage. And so that's going to be filed very soon. I'm very excited about that. You know, we've got a great group of lawyers that we're working with on this brief. And so I'm excited about what we're doing. You know, and if you've never been to the U.S. Supreme Court, it's very interesting. You know, I had the opportunity to go there a number of years when we represented a client on a pro-life case and got to be in the courthouse while the argument was being presented on banning partial birth abortion. Another case, I'll talk about it another time, though, that case was successful, but just tremendous issue. But, you know, the courtroom's not very big. So, you know, a lot of people think about the U.S. Supreme Court and that it would be this huge building. I mean, the building's pretty big, but the courtroom itself is actually pretty small, and so it can be difficult to get a seat in there. But there are other areas where you can be in the building and they'll have the audio, and so you can hear it. And there's always going to be a big crowd when that happens, when there, you know, oral argument. Very important case, though. And so but that's going to be getting filed soon, and you'll see us do some media on that. You'll see some announcements on that, and so you can take a look at the brief and see what's going on there. But probably one of the most important cases of our time. I mean, there's no question about it. And we're hoping to have victory on this issue, but we'll see what happens. And you know, if you want your voice to be heard, if you want to put your name on something, if you want to show your support, you can go to our website at txvalues.org and take a look at the Texas Marriage Declaration that we have, where over 36,000 people have signed on to it. If you haven't, we encourage you to do that. We'd love that number to be at 100,000, if not 50,000, when our brief gets filed. pretty soon here. And so, but also this week, I've have an opportunity to spend time with some great people from Family Research Council that do a lot of public policy and legal work. And we're going to have the pleasure to be with them this week with some other great pastors and people of faith that are trying to get people in the church to talk more about these issues, to be informed about what's happening in court cases, in legislation. You know, a lot of activity was happening at the Capitol this week. You know, a lot of there was a hearing on a bill related to the issue of marriage. A lot of discussion on this issue, you know, because a lot of people have become concerned. Hey, why aren't people following our marriage laws? What else can we do? What other things can we put in place to make sure that the sovereignty of our state is not intruded upon and that people continue to take seriously our marriage laws? You know, you got this Travis County judge recently decided to issue a marriage license. And so people become very concerned. A lot of that activity happening. And so you go to our website, you'll get more connected on this issue. And so, but we've been, you know, really excited to have national partners like Family Research Council that are very active in Washington, D.C., but across the country. And so getting to spend time with them this week, it's just been tremendous. And so we've been connecting with them in the San Antonio area because you have pastors there that have had their faith challenged and discussing about the issue of what's happening with the military. I mean, it's unbelievable the attacks on religious freedom that people in the military are facing. You've probably seen a number of cases that have come up recently. The one in San Antonio was Sergeant Monk, and there's a chaplain. His last name is Motter. He's been had challenges. We talked about that, I think, on our first show with Liberty Institute. And so, you know, San Antonio, huge military community. And so the opportunity to get to be with them, to get to be with pastors and people of faith that interact with the military community it has been tremendous and so important. But so much of this is about trying to give people the confidence to engage on these issues, to recognize there are ways to talk about the marriage issue. There are ways to talk about the religious freedom issue. There are ways to talk about the life issue that we can be confident in. And there's good reason for it. You know, when we think about the impact that these decisions have on people's personal lives, you know, we know that we're called to do that, you know, and sometimes it can be difficult. We don't have all the right information, you know, and so if you go to our website at txvalues.org, you'll be able to see what happens in the legislative process. You can download the Texas Legislative Guide and see how the legislative process works, you know, and so and it can be very simple. You know, you go to meet with your elected official, spend a couple of minutes with them, or if you want to testify at a committee hearing, whatever it is you want to do, there's ways to do it. We've got a how-to guide there, if you will, on how to get that done. And so, you know, and I can remember those times, you know, and certainly when I was a law student suing the University of Houston, that was a very difficult task, no question. And there were people that didn't agree with what I was doing and people that, you know, some people that that were on my side, but, you know, didn't agree with the approach. And so the challenges that can come to us on this issue can come from a lot of different directions. But we know when Christ is by our side that we can get these things done and that there's value for it. But, you know, there's people, it's striking, that don't know about the history of our marriage laws. They don't know about the history of our religious freedom. They don't know some of the medical information regarding, you know, a child in the womb, when a heart starts beating, you know, when the baby has starts to take on, you know, just tremendous forms, you know, from the beginning, and why the concept of life and matters so much, and why, you know, knowing the science behind conception and how a baby develops in a mother's womb is so important. And so that's all information that we have that, you know, maybe years ago before the sonogram and things of that nature, we weren't quite as quite aware. But all of that is there, you know, and if you look at some of the religious history, and that's one of the things about, you know, going up to the U.S. Supreme Court, you'll see that all these different images regarding our connection to Christianity and religion. You see that at the Texas Capitol as well. There's no question. You'll see the words "under God" displayed in the Texas Senate and the Texas House. And you'll see just about every day when they start in the House or Senate that they've got a pastor or somebody of faith leading them in prayer, having an invocation when those things begin. And so sometimes people are surprised about that because they simply just don't know the history. They don't know that there's a Supreme Court case that specifically makes it clear that it's okay to do that. Just like a lot of people don't realize that we have a law in the state of Texas called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that a lot of states are now passing something similar. and people are trying to distort what those laws do. But that's why it's important to continue to listen to this show, to continue to listen to the Texas Values Report, because you're going to learn a lot. You're going to get educated on these issues. And I think when you get educated and when you become informed on issues of faith, family, and freedom, you're going to feel inspired. You're going to feel compelled and feel confident about engaging people more on this issue, because you're going to understand the value of it. And then you're going to know, feel like you know how to talk about it and what to say. And so, you know, that brings us to our conclusion here in just a second. And it reminds me of a verse from Proverbs 18:17 that I always like to remember. And it says, "He who presents his case first seems right, until someone steps forth to challenge him." So I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to be that person who goes out and responds when somebody brings up something that's incorrect. And that's what we try to do at Texas Values, and we try to inspire you to do through the Texas Values Report. And so thanks for being with us, though, on another edition of the Texas Values Report. And you can always count on us to stand for faith, family, and freedom here in Texas.